Drop the F-bomb there at the end of the game, and I don't want to quote him, but he really wanted that game to end pretty bad.
I heard it, and it was not pretty.
I still can't figure out who it was. I don't know if it was an off-mic producer, which I feel like it was. We've been talking about unemployment numbers in the U.S. It just rose by 0.001% today.
Out the Wazoo, presented by Capone's, located off of 454 West King Street. 828-265-1886 is the number. Brandon Dixon, Chris Kroger, and special fill-in guest today, Joseph Shook, as the board op.
We're without Justin Kazepas. Justin had to do some work today. Got to pay the bills, I guess. So much appreciation goes to our boy Joseph Shook, normally the host of Absolutely Sports, but he's filling in tonight. If you want to get involved tonight, you know the drill. 828-264-4905 is the number to call. You can reach us on Twitter, twitter.com/SOTW_show. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/@SportsOutTheWazoo. It's real simple. You can get us out of that way. Or you can email us at SOTWshow@gmail.com. Lots of ways to get involved. Brandon, I'm out of breath now, but we have a lot to get into tonight.
Take a breather.
I'm going to take a breather. I have a little bit of headache. I need you got some Advil passed those my way as well. But a lot to get into tonight, not the least of which is college basketball. And I tell you what, basketball season is here. NBA season's been here for about 2 weeks now, and you know that's got me excited. I've been on an emotional high.
It's a great time of the year.
It is a great time of the year.
Football's overlapping, basketball's starting up.
Baseball's ended.
Yeah, baseball, the good part of
good
the baseball season.
Good for me,
season.
Bad for you.
Yeah, you know, it's ended, and NHL's kind of up in full swing now, so you've got a lot of big sports going on.
I'm in sports heaven.
And yeah, plus it's the holiday season. Who doesn't love the holiday season?
The thing that excites me about this time of year is NCAA basketball. It's very similar to, and not exactly, but similar to NCAA football in the regards of this is the time of year where you get to see some of the upsets. We've already seen LeMoyne take down Syracuse in an exhibition, so it didn't count. But these are the types of games where I heard one person say it goes two ways. You get to see the small schools that take on the big schools. You get to see the little powder puffs take on the big schools, and one pulls the upset. And then you also get to see the Division IIs take on the Division I mid-majors. The low mid-majors beating a mid-major, and then the mid-majors beating a high major. It goes two ways there, so it's very exciting. We have basketball season kicking off on Friday. You can tune into the game right here on 90.5 WASU. Brandon and myself will have the call. And Brandon, the Seahawks are rolling into town from UNCW, and I tell you one thing, revenge is on the minds of the Apps on Friday night.
Yeah, you got to feel from last year after that double overtime loss, 108-101 at Wilmington, that this one was definitely circled, and it helps. It's a little bit easier of a process when this is the first game of the season because you can't say that you're looking ahead, but this is definitely a game of revenge. ASU's definitely glad to have Wilmington here at the Hive, at the Black Hole, whatever you want to call it. They're glad to have them back and be able to play this game of revenge. Last year they didn't feel like they played very well, had a lot of costly and careless turnovers down the stretch in the second half that really cost them that game. They were up by double digits in the second half, late in the second half, mind you,
yeah.
And blew the game. The Seahawks were able to come up, tie it, and then just kind of blew it out in overtime, and that's really what happened. I mean, that was the story of the game, costly turnovers, and that's something that Coach Buzz Peterson is definitely trying to work on. Not only that, but also on the defensive side of the ball. That is something he emphasizes very exclusively. And so I think you'll see a much better defensive squad come out there.
It's definitely going to be interesting. I've had to try and temper my expectations with this team in the regards that it's easy to get caught up in, yeah, there are 12 returning players coming back. You have basically your entire starting five coming back, depending on what night you saw that starting five, because it was changing throughout the year. But you have guys in Ryan Abraham, Kellen Brand, Donald Sims, Josh Hunter, and Ike Butts all returning. A very strong, solid starting five, probably arguably the best starting five together as a unit in the SoCon. But I think it's easy to get caught up in that. You see Buzz Peterson come back and you say he had great success. The SoCon is down. Steph Curry has left. And you think, oh, we're destined to be SoCon champions. I think there's going to be a bit of a learning curve. And we already saw that this past Friday when App took on Mars Hill here at home. And sure, we played well, but we didn't win dominantly. Donald Sims dropped 33 points. Good for him. I mean, the guy's going to have a great year. I feel that coming for Donald. But the thing that stood out to me, 27 turnovers still.
Down the stretch again, they had a 26-point lead, only wound up winning by 13.
To me, that's one of those hard habits to break. And even if you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Isn't that the old statement? And I do think that's not entirely true. I do think you'll be able to dwindle down that turnover number. But I don't know if you can get it down to the point where you're dominating teams and you're winning you're going on 5, 6, 7 game winning streaks. I don't see that happening.
Not early on. Definitely the schedule can reflect at least a 2-0, 3-0 start, like that. I mean, you can definitely get off to a pretty good start. Then you start playing the tougher games.
Louisville and Texas on the schedule.
Yeah, especially in December when you have Louisville and Texas. But either way, you know what? I think when you look at this team, it's definitely going to be a learning curve. There's going to be adjustment period. Anytime you have a new coach, usually, I mean, 90% of the time probably, when a new coach comes in, it takes a while to adjust to all these new philosophies, these new schemes. Even though Buzz has been here before, this is a whole new group, and this is 9 years later.
And you know why that is, Brandon? When you really objectively look back, there's a reason the other head coach is gone, and that's because there were some previous mistakes being made. And to me, when I look at last year's team, fundamentally, they weren't very solid. And as you mentioned, that's going to be Buzz's strong point, but that's not something that you just flip a switch and it happens all of a sudden.
Well, I was thinking of a couple things the other day when I was reflecting on this team and what I really thought.
Reflecting? That's deep stuff. What are you meditating on this?
I was in my little corner in my apartment and had my aroma candles going. I tell you,
very touching.
You know what? I have a touching side, okay. But either way, the difference I see, there's a couple differences. Not only is there a new coaching staff that I feel is a lot stronger. No offense to Coach Morgan, Coach Ahmad Smith, all those guys, but I think this is a better coaching staff.
It's assembled by,
no offense again to Houston Fancher, a better coach than Buzz Peterson.
You basically have two associate head coaches in Cash Merrick, and then you also have Matt McMahon, and then you mix to Jason Capel.
Yeah, Jason Capel, who played, four great years at North Carolina.
Yeah.
You know what? I think he really gets down to the level of the players because he's still young.
Yeah.
He still can't, he can still kind of say, you know what? This is how I used to go through back in my day. And it wasn't back in my day when I played in 1940. It was back in my day, 5, 10 years ago. So I think players can definitely associate themselves with that a lot better. The other thing is that this year, you look at all the stars from last year, maybe Kellen Brand, Ike Butts, some of those players, you say, okay, those guys can definitely score. Ryan Abraham. But I think not only will you have those guys that can score, you're going to have a lot of other guys that were on the bench and just contributing, maybe had bad years, maybe were injured,
Jeremy Booth
that
comes
are
to
going
mind.
To have huge seasons.
Yep.
I'm talking Donald Sims. I'm talking Jeremy Booth. I'm talking Josh Nuremberg, who redshirted last year.
Yeah, he's looked solid so
these
far.
These guys are going to step up and have big years. Not only that, but they're going to be able to kind of play along with Josh Hunter, Ike Butts, all these other guys. And as we found out on Absolutely Sports last night, David Jackson said this is the first time last night, was the first time that the whole team practiced together. Everybody's back from the swine flu. Everybody but AJ really is back and not really injured. And they're going to have 3-4 days to practice before they have to play Wilmington and then again at ETSU.
I do expect a strong effort against Wilmington will be enough. It'll be close. I do think this team isn't going to blow any team out. I think they're going to be in a lot of close games this year. I do think you bring in a guy like Buzz Peterson, he might put this team over the edge. They're still going to turn the ball over. But as you mentioned, this team's going to score in buckets. Expect a lot of games in the 80s and the 90s even a lot of times.
I think as the year progresses, the defense will get better.
Oh, yeah, it will get better.
The thing that worries, I think, me and I think I would speak for you as well, are turnovers. And that is the hardest thing. I mean, you can preach defense. You can preach positioning, rebounding, stuff like that. That's not that hard in the whole scheme of things. But you can't really preach careless passes and stuff. That just comes with practice and playing. And ultimately, it comes to the player. Because coaches can actually teach players, okay, here's where to position on defense. Watch this tape. But when you make a bad pass you're scrambling down court really quick, it's ultimately up to the player to make that decision. And if they have a lot of turnovers or are turnover prone, it's going to be hard to break that habit.
It is going to be hard to break that habit. The Apps open up the season at home at the Holmes Dome, the Hive, the Black Hole, whatever you want to call it. We'll be there. If you should come out yourself, but if for some reason you can't reach it, you're out of town, listen on WASURocks.com or right here on 90.5. Brandon Dixon will have the call. I'll be joining him alongside. Also, Joseph, you'll be there as well, buddy.
You're going to be doing scoreboards, man.
I will be there.
Okay.
Most definitely. I'm going to enjoy
this isn't news to him. I will be there.
Yes, so, it is a
statement.
Collectively, we will all be there. And then, Brandon, you and I are going to be traveling down the mountain across the border over to Johnson City on Saturday to watch App take on ETSU the following night on the road.
This is exciting for me. I've been kind of glowing ever since we found out about it because...
You're like a pregnant woman.
When you glow, it's something special.
Pregnant woman? It is something special.
Pregnant women have a glow to them.
They have a glow to them?
So you look like a pregnant woman.
There's a girl in the room.
Brandon.
Lori, is this Lori? You got me on this,
Lori. Yeah, what do you? Yeah, is there a glow to pregnant women? You would know, right?
You know,
Lori?
people say that they can tell when a woman's pregnant.
That's
so
right.
I'm guessing you're right.
Yeah, it's called their belly. So that's what it's called.
No,
it's not called a glow.
Their skin, tends to be a little bit better, and all this
that
stuff.
We'll talk about Sammy Sosa.
Ladies,
a little bit
just
later
don't
on.
Listen to Brandon Dixon.
Anyway,
just...
beside the point, you can catch the Wilmington game here on Friday night, also on Saturday night, or you can check us out on GoASU.com. David Jackson, Steve Brownie. Obviously, they'll be on in Burlington Saturday afternoon for the big football game. Nobody to call the basketball game. Who do they call? Brandon and myself.
So not we'll the Ghostbusters.
Not quite. So we'll be there. We'll have all the action. You can listen here on 90.5, WASURocks.com, or you can even listen on GoASU.com. So tons of ways to get involved.
It's an impressive way, not only to reach a lot of different listeners, but at the same time, it's an honor. It's a privilege. And I might be going out on a limb here, but I believe this is the first time that anybody from WASU has done a away basketball game in the history.
Don't
so
blow
this
it.
Is big time.
Don't blow it. It's all on you. Moving onward in the college game, not just basketball. I want to talk about this, and we can kind of spin this forward a little bit into some other talk. First of all, we'll start with this. Bobby Bowden, I'm ready for this circus to end. I'm not a Florida State fan.
Please make it end.
But I'm not a Florida State hater either.
I love Bobby Bowden. I love him as a person, and I love him as a coach. I think he's a great guy, but there's just people that their time is up. Joe Pa, he's been able to keep it up at Penn State. He's been able to just stay around and really produce at least productive teams. Florida State really has not produced anything great in the last 5-10 years.
The problem with me is it's such a fine line because 3 or 4 years ago, people were saying the same thing about Joe Pa. You get a couple of good recruiting classes, you win some big games,
and then it can all turn around.
So I kind of feel like Bobby Bowden, he could be close, but I don't know. I mean, if that happens, everything's fine.
Don't you feel like that he's not getting the recruiting classes? And really, Florida State, Miami, has been known to get a lot of punk players. And that just seems like that's what they've been going towards, a bunch of punks and thugs.
I'll talk to both of you about this, and you can tell me if you agree. In my opinion, the thing that kills FSU, the thing that kills Florida State, Miami, the thing that kills Florida... Not necessarily Florida, because I think Florida is going after a different type of player than those two schools. You can tell just by the way they're built. They want more of an athlete, not necessarily a football player. They want an athlete they can plug in. But if you look at FSU and Miami specifically, why they've come back the past few years to the crowd, you look at a team like FIU, you look at a team at FAU, you look at South Florida, who started a football program.
All the weird Florida teams.
UCF has started a football program. The waters have been muddy down in Florida, and those recruiting grounds, which were once so talent-rich and the crops were plentiful, have now since come down a little bit because there are so many people picking and choosing from that crowd. And I don't think that they're getting elite talent, but I think those mid-range guys that they were all picking, they were so plentiful, dwindling.
It's just like parity in the ACC. When you're going up against each other, eventually, something's going to break and you're not going to go anywhere.
Well, yeah, not only do you have Florida schools, like you said, South Florida, Central Florida, but you've got other big-time schools, Texas, LSU, they're dipping into Florida. They realize Texas and Florida are the hotbeds for athletes, especially football.
Too.
California as well. But you've got schools there they're finally figuring out, too. Missouri, even all those Southeast region schools, Alabama, Ole Miss, they're tapping into Florida.
This is what's happened with the college basketball game. The basketball game is so there's so much parity because in basketball specifically, you don't have to spend a lot of money to win at basketball. You don't have to be a big school to win at basketball. You can recruit everywhere. I think that's what we've seen in Florida. So many football programs are starting up, and everywhere people are grabbing, and there's not the same recruits. So I do think that, like you said, the talent level has come down. This is ridiculous. Bobby Bowden, apparently, though, during the week, being interviewed by multiple journalists, multiple reporters, he's forgetting the score of the game, apparently. People were asking him, he was asking reporters, was I up at one point? What was the score at this part of the game? Were you not paying attention on the side? I know you're not making play calls anymore, but at least be engaged.
As a coach, you have to know.
Engaged.
If he doesn't know what the score was at certain times, I mean, this is right after the game. This is not like a week later, like, oh, hey, you remember that game last week or a few months back? And he has to recollect what went on. No, this is right after the game, and he's saying, wait, there was 9 minutes left, and the reporter says, yes. In the game? And they're like, yes. And we were up, and they said, yeah, 24-21.
Yes, Bobby.
And then eventually he said, okay, well, what was the score at halftime? Then he's asking them questions.
Ridiculous. It's
absolutely incredible.
The thing I'll say to this, it doesn't affect the game in the fact that he's not making defensive play calls. He's not making offensive play calls. He's not the one drawing up the X's and O's anymore. He's past that. But I think it goes to show how much he's not involved anymore. And what's he there for other than being a figurehead? And you've talked about this before. I just think it's time for him to move on.
Well, what's the offensive coordinator's
Jimbo
name?
Jimbo Fisher. And I tell you what,
Fisher.
If they don't hire Jimbo Fisher by the
Jimbo.
End of next year, he gets like $5 or $6 million.
$5 million.
He's banking in real well. I mean, whoever agent is, let me know. I need an agent like that.
At the end of the day, I do think the end is near. I think next year will be the farewell tour of Bobby Bowden. Obviously, contractually, they have to. Otherwise, they're dishing out some money, some paper there. Also in college football, and I think we'll tie this in into some other conversation into the rest of sports, instant replay. We've talked about this. I don't even know where to go because it's so varied now. It's affecting every sport. First of all, in college football, word comes out the other day that SEC officials aren't even using HD televisions to watch replays. They're watching like the giant.
They got rabbit ears or something coming off like all that dial.
How on earth are you supposed to make a game-changing call if you can't even see the best picture available? Don't they?
Hold on. It'll stop going. The lines will stop going across in just a second. All right, there we go.
But what's funny is you get this picture painted in your head when you're watching a game at home and you see like Fox or ABC or ESPN, they'll pull in a superimposed, super fine, high definition.
Yeah, how sad is it that we're watching a better game, better replay
fans,
than they are?
The fans at the game see the game better than the replay people do.
Exactly, and not just so that's one thing there. That's ridiculous in that regard. I also spin that forward to baseball. The GMs decided just the other day.
When are they going to learn?
They're not going to expand instant replay use in Major League Baseball. And what kills me that, Joseph, just like you said, the fans are the ones with the best picture in the house. You watch a baseball game, and this is what kills me. Don't show instant replay in a stadium when you're not going to use instant replay in the actual game.
Yeah, if you have that technology available, why not use it?
Well, what we see during the playoffs and key games through the end of the year, somebody will make a bad call, and then they show the replay up on the scoreboard, and the whole stadium erupts because they can clearly see it's a bad call. All the umps have to do is look around and see it, and they could change it. But what do they choose to do? Ignore it.
Well,
no big deal.
You know what? The fight about it, baseball, as much as I love it, the fight about it is that it slows the game down too much. No, what it slows the game down is when they have to,
the
group up, confer, and then wait, a manager comes out, they explain it, then the other manager comes out angrily, saying, no, you got the call wrong.
Then the players get in a fight.
Then the players are coming over there, and then they're all appealing. No, that slows the game down. And really, baseball, I have to admit, it's already a slow game.
It would speed
the game up. The technology's already there. And on top of that, after watching this postseason, which, yes, my Yankees did go on to win the World Series. There was so many blown calls. It's not even funny. A few of them went against the Yankees, a few of them went for them. But really, the Red Sox series against the Angels was the most telling one when they blew four straight calls,
It was atrocious.
Awful.
You can't do pitches and pitches and ball. You can't do pitches. You can't do balls and strikes. That's ridiculous because that will slow down the game. But I do think, did that guy get to the base before the guy caught the ball in his glove? I think that should be up to it. Not just fair or foul, home run or not home run. There should be other key. Did the guy touch the base? There should be other key situations. Yeah. There were guys, again, this postseason who went home and never touched home plate, and that was a game-changing run that was scored.
And that's what I'm saying. These are big runs. Not only is it in the regular season when, sure, you can say, all right, some of those games you just throw out against the lesser teams, but this is the postseason. This is when you're supposed to have your best officiating crew. This is when you're supposed to have all the technology there, because this is for all the Skittles, it's for all the marbles, this is everything, and you should be on top of your game. And when there's a questionable call, you should have some type of instant replay or something there. And you know what? There's tons of missed calls on base hits, people off the base. I mean, the Yankees series against the Angels was really bad when the one telling one that really came out to me, Nick Swisher was picked off second, and like an inning later, Jorge Posada and Robinson Cano were both caught off base, tagged, which is two outs, and then they only called one out. Yeah. And even Robbie Cano was just like, oh, well, tagged, I'm on third, actually.
And you could
they
read people's lips saying, he never tagged me.
And you could just tell. And even if that's due to the umpiring, and as it got into the World Series, it got better. But either way, if that's just human error, bad umpiring, then still you need to have instant replay to say, okay, well, we didn't have the best officiating crew out there. That's our bad. Let's go to replays and change it and make the correct call.
My solution, you go to the NHL's way. The NHL's way, there's a central office in the NHL. It's in Toronto. It could be anywhere. For Major League Baseball, you go to New York. You have a guy who's a dedicated instant replay guy. He's just sitting in front of a screen. That's his job. You make a call. And then instantly he's already watching this stuff, so he can already say it. In the NHL, it stops play for maybe at most 1 to 2 minutes at best. It's not like the NFL where the guy goes and sits under the booth. I remember when it first came out in the NFL, there used to be a clock. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You used to be able to go under a two-minute clock.
It was like a two-minute clock.
But now I don't.
It could only take like a two-minute smoke break there in there lighting up.
I don't know what's happened because that clock no longer exists in the NFL. So I definitely think baseball needs to get into it. I think that's a way they could do it where it would be effective.
As long as they don't have to watch the TVs that the SEC are apparently using.
One final instant replay thing is we're almost up against the break, and this one, this was a crazy game. I'm a huge NBA fan, but last night, Nuggets and Bulls, Mike Miller with what was, I think, 0.4 or 0.5 seconds left on the clock.
Like there's at least five of these a year.
He has a catch and shoot wide open right near the free throw line, just kind of sticks his rear end out and kind of just tosses it up one-handed, an awkward play, but it goes in, and they thought they won the game. The officials go back and look at the call. And they did that little freeze frame thing, and it appeared that the backboard was lit up while his hand was still touching the ball. Good call. I don't know if you saw it or not, but good call.
I did not see it.
Good, Joseph, you see this game?
I did not. I heard about it, but I haven't seen
it. What are you doing? What are you missing out on?
I had a video project to finish, guys.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
There's nothing else on TV on a Tuesday night. You got to watch some
I didn't even see the TV last night.
I definitely would have been.
I didn't even see it. I was busy.
I was actually watching The Ugly Truth. Good movie, by the way.
Okay. neither here nor there, but Mike Miller was absolutely livid, rightfully so, because I definitely think he thought he made it. I think it was clear. The refs made the right call. The NBA has a decent...
You remember one of them that was, I believe, in the New Jersey-Charlotte series when the Hornets were back in town, and Baron Davis had it with 0.3 seconds,
yep,
and just basically batted it like a volleyball, and went in from like half court, and it was good.
This. Yeah.
And they didn't have instant. I mean, they had instant replay for us, of course. They didn't have instant replay for the NBA back then, and they didn't count it. Ultimately, lost in overtime, and that cost them the game and ultimately the series. So, I mean, these calls happen all the time. So you got to feel that that instant replay is going to help this eventually, and hope that. You got to hope that not only SEC, college, NBA, MLB, NFL, that eventually instant replay will get some common ground and be able to solve all these problems.
It's definitely ridiculous. We're up against the break. We're going to come back with some more sports action. We're going to talk some NFL, some dirty players, some ugly uniforms.
Can't wait.
Ocho Cinco's up to no good, and you will not believe what Eric Mangini has said about himself. It's unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
We'll be back at more sports out the wazoo on 90.5 WASU-FM online, WASURocks.com.
Dude, I'm not gonna cave in. End of story, dude.
Dude.